Diaz-Balart, a Miami Republican, and Brown, a Jacksonville Democrat, opposed the Fair District's amendment from the very beginning. The two benefited from a plan hatched by Republicans and African-American Democrats in 1992 to draw minority-access districts. Here's Diaz-Balart speaking against the amendments, one for Congress, the other for the State House, in 2010, before voters approved them.
These are the bleaching amendments. These amendments will have the effect of bleaching the state of Florida as it was before 1992, when minorities did not have the ability to elect candidates of their choice. That's what it's all about here. It's unworkable, and it will have a devastating effect on minorities across the entire state of Florida.
That was the opening shot against Amendment 6, which applies to congressional seats. The voters didn't agree with Diaz-Balart's protest and approved the amendment with 62% of the vote. By the time the dispute landed before the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, the opponents' arguments were reduced to the power to change congressional redistricting rules resides solely with the legislature and not the voters through a referendum. Dan Gelber is the general counsel for Fair Districts and says the three-judge panel took 32 pages to explain why that sentence is at odds with American tradition and law.
The court obviously dismissed their arguments out of hand by saying that it's precisely the power of the people to create criteria that would guide its legislature in its creation of districts. All the Fair Districts Amendments do is give a criteria by which that the legislature has to follow. It's perfectly appropriate. And any other interpretation would mean that the legislature is more important than the people. In our Constitution, the very first line in it is that the political power rests with the people. And it does, and this court made that argument loud and clear.
The Fair District Amendments, number 6 for Congress and Amendment 5 for the state legislature, require that the districts be compact rather than sprawling, that they not favor a candidate or party, or shut racial or language minorities out of the political process. By rejecting the challenge, Gelbert suggests that the court also sent a clear message to the Florida House of Representatives. It is helping pay for lawsuits challenging the voter-approved amendments. Gelbert says there should be no further appeals.
So now it's time, because of these amendments and because of what the people said they wanted, to quit trying to prevent them from being implemented, and to follow them and to follow the rule of law in our Constitution.
That is exactly what the House's Redistricting Committee chairman says his committee did. Wesley Chapel Representative Will Weatherford is leading the House in drawing new political districts. After the committee approved the new maps, Weatherford said there has never been a more fair drawing of state house and congressional districts in history that he knows of.
Based on newspaper articles I've read, by your very newspapers, almost a third of the legislators in our chamber are drawn out of their seats. There's not a single legislature in the history of America that I know without a court order that has drawn that many members out of their seats. We did it because that's what the Constitution said we had to do. There was no politics involved. This was purely something that we felt like we had to do to follow the Constitution.
However, the House has set aside time on both Thursday and Friday to debate the proposed maps for Florida's 27 congressional seats, 40 state Senate seats, and 120 state representative seats. Fort Lauderdale Representative Evan Jenny is the ranking Democrat on the House's Redistricting Committee. He and other Democrats cast a series of no votes in committee with little comment. He says he has been around the process long enough to know when he will get a straight answer.
There's two things that make Tallahassee go round. One is money and the other is partisanship. And this is 100% partisanship. It's a partisan thing that we're dealing with. And we thought that there were maps that could have been done a little bit better. We felt like there were some things that could have been better within them. And we just didn't see them present. So
Jenny didn't finish the thought, but suggested that reporters wait until the redistricting bill comes up on the House floor. Speaker Dean Cannon says he wants to make sure there's appropriate and ample debate of the maps. The House is scheduled to be in session 15 hours Thursday and Friday, and a vote on all three maps is expected to be taken by the end of Friday. Speaker Cannon.
I've set aside time on Thursday and Friday because I expect to be on the floor on Thursday and Friday. We want to make sure that there's appropriate and ample debate. And we're a larger chamber than the Senate, so I don't know what their expectations are, but mine are not to do anything extraordinary to rush things along. We will neither, again, accelerate them nor delay them. But I wouldn't have allowed time on the floor on Friday if I didn't expect us to be on the floor on Friday. We'll see how long it takes and kind of handle it in the due course of things.
Once the House approves the new maps, it will send them to the Senate. And after the Senate passes the proposals, the Florida Supreme Court will have 30 days to approve them. For WFSU-FM, I'm James Call.